Thank you for everyone who ministered to us this morning. What a blessing it has been to see how God has blessed our church with so much talent. Now, maybe the secret's out. Maybe there'll have to be more of that kind of stuff in the days ahead. But thank you for serving us this morning. All right, we're going to take some time and open God's Word together. Don't worry, it's not going to be as long as it normally is. I normally get the opportunity to speak much sooner than now, but we planned for all of your ministry to us and for me to be shorter than normal. I will work on that, all right? Okay, this morning our thoughts are going to focus on the day that changed the world. There are lots of days in human history where we can point to that day and say, man, the world was changed on that day. Perhaps the most recent, as long ago as it was 9/11, right? That was a long time ago. But didn't it change the world? I mean, we were in Africa at the time. And prior to 9/11, it was pretty easy to fly internationally from one place to another. You could pre-check your baggage. You could leave it at the curb. It was pretty easy to get through customs and all of that kind of stuff. But after 9/11, man, did it change. Take your shoes off. Take your belt off. Take this. You got to check inside this, and you got to check inside that, and you can't bring that. That's got to stay. You got to get rid of that. Man, did things change. No pre-checks, nothing like that. What a difference. Changed the world. There's other things that have changed the world, but can I tell you this morning that there's nothing that changed the world like the birth of a babe in Bethlehem. That birth was prophesied years ago, planned in eternity past. God knew in eternity past, He made a plan that would reconcile lost mankind to Himself, and that would come through the birth of His Son who took on flesh. That wasn't the beginning of Jesus in the manger, you know that, right? Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Always has been, always will be. Nothing is going to change that. The thing that changed is that Jesus, the creator of the universe, wrapped Himself in flesh so that He could become part of His creation for the very purpose of saving His creation, saving lost mankind. So we want to join you, or we want to thank you this morning for joining us today as we celebrate the Christmas season. Our focus up until this point has been the fulfilled promises of God that led up to that first Christmas. That promise that we looked at all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. The first mention of the birth of the Christ child. The Messiah who would come, who would crush the head of Satan. We looked at then a couple of other Old Testament promises from the book of Isaiah, prophecies that were made about the coming of the Messiah, what His name will be in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, who He will be. He will be Emmanuel. He will save His people from their sins. Jesus, the one true God, was the one who fulfilled those very promises that were made about a child, about Him. There's none like Him. The promises were made about Him, and He fulfilled those promises. Because He has been faithful in keeping His word, it helps us keep in mind the very reason for the season. And the reason for the season is not about the Christmas presents. We had Christmas yesterday with our daughter and her boyfriend. I got gifts of red. You know what that means? I got Milwaukee tools. A right angle screwdriver type of thing. And I got this cool thing that you hook up on your battery and you can plug anything you want into that. So if I'm out and I've got my Milwaukee tools and I have an angle grinder now too. But anyway, I don't have this and I only have it corded. I got to plug it in. So I plug it into my Milwaukee battery because I got this gift that's pretty cool that lets me do that. But you know what? Those gifts, as nice as they are not the greatest gift ever. Even if I got one of the best tools that Milwaukee makes, I'm not sure what that is, but whatever, it wouldn't be the greatest gift ever. The greatest gift came wrapped in swaddling clothes, and his mother put him in a manger so that people could behold him. The shepherds came because they were told by the angels. This child grew, and about the age of 2, wise men came. It took them that long to get there. They traveled from afar to a house where they met this boy Jesus, who was already on track to change the world. That is what our focus of Christmas is all about. It's about Jesus, the Son of God, who took on flesh that he might redeem lost mankind. So this morning, as we celebrate our Calvary Family Christmas, we're going to ask ourselves a question. How are we doing at keeping our focus in 2025? How are we doing? I'm not asking you to answer me that question, but I'm asking you to answer that question for yourself, to yourself. How are you doing at keeping your focus focused? In Sunday school, we reflected on some of the symbols of Christmas with our goal of being to point everything back to Jesus. This morning, we're going to think about how the birth of Jesus was so amazing that it actually changed the world. And not just for a season, like the Christmas season, but for all of eternity. So far this Christmas, we've been keeping our sermon text pretty short, right? The first text was one verse. The second text was two verses. This morning, we're going to do the same. We're not departing from that norm. And we're also doing the same in that we're not using a normal Christmas text. We're going to take a look this morning at the book of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Would you stand together with me as we read this passage of Scripture, not commonly associated with Christmas, but you know what? It's all about Christmas. All right, read together Galatians 4, 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together to worship you this morning. Thank you for the worship that has already taken place, and thank you for the privilege that we have of worshiping you now as we open your word together and learn from it. Bless our time, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When the fullness of time had come, I love the way one of my professors at Bible college put it. He said, in the nick of time. Okay? In other words, at just the right moment in time, God brought his plan into play. How is it the right moment in time? Do you know what happened at this place we call the Tower of Babel? What happened? Languages changed. Before then, there was one language. After that, there was a multitude of languages. People actually separated and went their own way, found people who spoke the same languages, and they gathered together in communities, and they spoke that language. From that point until the day Jesus was, well, until the time that Jesus was born, the languages were confused, but then along comes this guy named Alexander the Great. You know about him, right? He's a figure in history, one of the single rulers of the world, a power unto himself. Alexander the Great did something that nobody had done since the Tower of Babel. You know what he did? He unified the language. He made one language all over the world that was known at the time. And that language was the Greek language, Adonai Koine Greek. Okay? He made this the language of the world. Why was that so important? Well, Jesus was born at that time, He lived his life, he communicated in the Greek language, and then when he went to the cross, he hung on the cross, and you know what was above the cross? The greatest gift tag ever. Pilate said, "Put this above the cross. This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Every person could understand and could read that this is Jesus, the Son of God, the King of the Jews. It wasn't just an accusation, it was who he is, Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, the long-awaited one. So this morning we're going to think about what actually happened on that first Christmas night, the night that Jesus was born, the night that he was wrapped in human flesh and born of a virgin and came forth and was wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in that manger. We're going to think about the night that changed the world. Changed it so much for the better. How did it change? What were the things that happened that night? Well, first of all, we see in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel's announcement. Vonnie asked me at the beginning of the Christmas season, I think it was on Praise and Prayer Night in December, she said, "What does Noel mean?" Well, we sing about that word, don't we? We sing this song in our Christmas carols every year. The first Noel, the angels did say. Noel, what does it mean? Well, a young lady by the name of Christy Walker, you might notice that last name, Mel Walker, was a friend of ours. He spoke in our church. He wrote several books. He was on staff at Baptist Bible College. That's his daughter. Mel's gone home to be with the Lord and left a great legacy for us. But his daughter wrote these words in Christianity.com. She said, "Noel is Christmas in French. Noel can also mean good news, coming from the French phrase, bonus novelles." I don't know if I got that quite right or not, but that means good news. Noel can even mean birthday, and with this meaning understood, it's no wonder we sing Noel at Christmas to celebrate the good news of the birth of Jesus. Will you agree with me that there is no better news than the news of Jesus, the Evangel, the one who good news is all about? To whom did the angels make their announcement? And just what did they announce anyway? Well, we know the answer to whom is the shepherds. The fact that the birth of Jesus was first made known to the shepherds, Vonnie shared with us this morning, she appreciates the shepherds so much because they're like the common people. People looked down on shepherds almost no matter when they were around. I mean, they were kind of looked at as, really? We know we got to have them because they're the ones that raise our food, but we don't really like to be around them. They kind of stink most of the time. Smelly. They're, you know, they just, they're always around their sheep, and when they're not, they still smell like sheep. Shepherds. Remember when Joseph brought his family down to Egypt? He told them, he said, "I'm going to introduce you to Pharaoh." Now, Pharaoh was the most important person in the land because he was the top dog. "Just don't tell him you're a shepherd, because the Egyptians hate shepherds. You don't want to start off on the wrong foot." But you know, shepherds have always been an important part of God's economy. This announcement about the birth of a child, the Son of God, God entering into his creation, was made to the shepherds. It wasn't made to the religious people of the day. It wasn't made to the kings or politicians of the day. It was made to those of humble origin. It was made to those who were minding their own business on a hillside, keeping watch over their flock, doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing at that point in time. And all of a sudden, their world was rocked. Their world was changed with this announcement. But think about it for a moment. God enjoys using shepherds, doesn't he? Abraham, was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David, before he became king of Israel, was a shepherd. Several of the prophets that wrote, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and the minor prophets, several of them were shepherds. And then, of course, Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. So who did they make the announcement to? He made it to the shepherds. What was the announcement? We find that in Luke chapter 2. I bring you, the angel says, after he calms them down because they're shaking in their sandals probably. I don't think they wore boots, but they were scared to death. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's break this down a little bit. I bring you good tidings. What is that? Well, good tidings is good news. It's the gospel. We get our word evangelize from that word. What is the best news ever? Well, before you can answer that question, you got to know what the worst news ever is, right? The worst news is that there was a guy named Adam and he had a wife named Eve. And they were placed in this garden as the perfect creation of God. They were tempted one day and they gave into that temptation and they sinned. And in that sin, they plunged all of mankind into sin. Everyone is born of Adam and Eve and everyone is a sinner because they're born of Adam and Eve. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, it doesn't take you long to sin either. Why? Because you have that nature. You have the sin nature. So you're a sinner by nature, but you're also a sinner by choice. You say, I might as well leave. You don't have any good news for me. I do have good news for you. The good news is you don't have to stay a sinner. Because in eternity past, God knew that he would place Adam and Eve in the garden and that they would sin. So he created man to fellowship with him. He wanted that fellowship restored. So he had this plan where he would send his son to earth to die for the sins of man. Why would that have to be? Well, you see, God required a perfect, holy sacrifice to cover the penalty for sin. Who knows what the penalty for sin is? Death. Paul wrote it in Romans chapter 3, the wages of sin is death. Wow, that's bad news. The wages of what I earn, what I deserve is death. Who wants that? I have good news. Jesus has come. He's done something for you that you could never do. He's paid your wages. He died on the cross. Now, what did he do when he died? He didn't just physically die. That moment that he hung on the cross, and in the middle of the day, it got dark, darker than it has ever been before. And in that darkness, he, Jesus, was separated from his Father. Never happened before in all of eternity. Never will happen ever again. But Jesus took the death that we deserve, that separation from God. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The good news is that God forsook his son because he was paying the penalty for our sins. He made it possible for us to be reconciled. I bring you good news, said the angels to the shepherds. It's news of great joy. A magnitude of rejoicing that comes from the Holy Spirit when we come to know Jesus as our Savior. The key is the subject of which brings great joy. In this case, it's the birth of the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, the one called Jesus. It's the heart of the gospel. And this is what changed the world. The fact that reconciliation, that's the great joy, lost man reconciled to a holy God, is available to all people. It's the heart of the angel's announcement. We also see in our text the anticipation of the Savior. While baby Jesus slept that first Christmas night, God's plan for the ages continued to unfold. Only now, at least from a human perspective, with greater fervor. We're now moving forward. For the longest time, we didn't know when the child was going to come, when the Savior would come, when the Deliverer would come. Now the plan is actually in motion. The plan of redemption. God reconciling lost man to himself. The perfect sacrifice had entered his creation and began his journey. And you know where that journey would end, right? The journey would end as a perfect sacrifice for sin and the reality of reconciliation to a just and holy God. This morning I read a song in Sunday school, and I'm going to read it again for you. It just does such a wonderful job summarizing all that our Savior did when he came to earth. It's called Manger Throne by Phil Wickham. It goes like this. Talking about Jesus, you could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see, brought every tribe and nation to their knees, arriving with the host of heaven and royal robe and crown, the rulers of the earth all bowing down. That's how he could have arrived. And guess what? Someday he will arrive that way. But that wasn't the plan. The plan was first as a babe in a manger. Remember all those promises and prophecies that we talked about that led to this point? But, Wickham goes on to sing, but you chose meekness over majesty, wrapped your power in humanity. That's the incarnation. Wrapped himself in flesh. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own to Jesus the King on a manger throne. You could have marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome. Now I got to stop here for a minute. That's what the Jews were expecting. That's what the Jews wanted from Jesus. The problem is, they didn't know their Bible. They should have known from the Old Testament that before the conquering king can come, the suffering servant must first come and fulfill all the promises about a baby born who would crush the head of Satan and then die on the cross. The song goes on to say, showed them splendor like they'd never known. But you wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem, Creator in the arms of common man. You will die for our redemption, and you will rise so we can live. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own to Jesus the King on a manger throne. From heaven to the cradle, from the cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him. Our God has overcome. Let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. And all hail the King. All glory to you alone, the King who reigns from a manger throne. They anticipated the Savior, and guess what? The Savior came and did exactly what he was supposed to do. He hung on a cross. He paid the debt that we could not pay, and he satisfied God's wrath in our place. What else happened on that first Christmas night? Well, he was accepted by the people. And you know what? Today, he must still be accepted by people. Let's turn back to the shepherds, who the angels first announced the birth of Jesus to. They set a great example for us on that Christmas night. I love the way the shepherds responded to the angels' announcement. Listen to what they did. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. I love how it's phrased. The shepherds didn't wait around. I mean, what is the shepherd's most important job? See, as a bus driver, I have one job. In the morning, I pick up my kids, and I safely get them to school. That's my job. In the afternoon, I pick them up at school, and I safely take them home. Sometimes I'll point something out, and the kids will say, "How did you see that?" That's my job. I have to make sure that I'm looking at everything, watching for everything, so that if something should run in the road, be it a deer or another car or a child, I see it so I can safely get my kids to and from school. The shepherds have one job. What is that job? Safely care for their sheep. David was a great example of that. Remember, he told the story of when a lion and a bear came to steal sheep from his flock, and he killed them both bare hands. He was a tough guy, must have been. His job, care for the sheep. Shepherd's job, care for the sheep. These shepherds, forget the sheep, let's go to Bethlehem. Bonnie pointed out this morning that God took care of their sheep. Yeah, God did. In a very special way. Didn't mean that they were shirking their responsibilities. It just meant that they knew that they had to go see Jesus. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass that the Lord has made known to us. What did they do? Well, the shepherds believed God's word. Look at their response. We need to go. But I love why they went. They didn't go and say, let's go see if this really happened like the angel said. They went because they knew it happened. Let us go now and see this thing that has come to pass. Not let us go to see if it did come to pass. Let's go see that it has. Let's go see because we know. The angels told us it happened. We believe. And so what did they do? They acted on their belief. Somebody please tell me what that is. It's faith. They were told something in God's word or from God himself, and they responded, they acted, they moved, they ordered their life accordingly. They left their sheep, they went to the manger, and they met baby Jesus. Oh man, that night changed their lives. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, the next thing we see that they did. The shepherds broadcasted the good news. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. This news was so life-changing, they had to share it with everyone they met. They couldn't keep quiet about it. They just kept talking and talking and talking. And what did they talk about? The birth of Jesus. Just like the shepherds believed, we should believe also. What do we believe? Not just about his birth, but we believe about his perfect life. We believe about his atoning death on Calvary. We believe about his glorious resurrection from the dead, his ascension back to heaven where he's seated at the Father's right hand, and, can't wait for this one, his promised return. First, to catch us up in the air, to go to heaven to be with him for the rest of eternity. And then, for his physical return to earth, which will be for 1,000 years. And we'll come back with him, by the way, for that 1,000-year reign. He said, boy, that's a long time. Remember what the Bible says, though? A day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. It won't hardly seem like a breath. Jesus will accomplish what he needs to accomplish on the earth with us by his side, and then eternity will begin. Wow. For those of us who believe, there is life everlasting. For those who do not believe, they remain in their separated state from our loving God. I said that right. They remain in their separated state. If you're here this morning and you never have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, You are separated from God. You are, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, dead in your trespasses and sins. You don't have access to God. If you don't repent of your sins and trust Jesus as your Savior, you remain in that state. And if you should die in that state, you will remain separated from God in this place called hell. God didn't make it for you. Doesn't want you to go there. But if you choose to continue to reject Him, that's where you will go. You see, the day that changed the world changed the lives of those shepherds. They were never the same. The day that changed the world has changed the lives of many of us sitting in this room. We'll never be the same. And it can change your life too. For those who are saved, again, the shepherds set a great example for us. They went and they told the good news. That's what we need to do this Christmas season. We need to share the good news with others. And not just this Christmas season, but throughout the rest of the year. Share the good news. And if you're here this morning and you've never responded to that, today would be a great day for you to trust Jesus as your Savior. You see, the day that changed the world is still changing lives today. If you've not allowed it to change your life, I want to tell you today can be that day. Somebody here would love to help you change your life by receiving the greatest gift ever given. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to go broadcast the good news as you leave this place this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come again before you today and we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for the very fact that He is your Son. He came to this earth for a very specific reason, to die on a cross, to satisfy your wrath, to reconcile lost man to yourself. Thank you for that gift. There's never been a better gift given than the gift of Jesus. Father, if there's somebody here this morning that's not yet accepted that gift, I pray that you would be working in their hearts right now, convicting them with your Holy Spirit to say something to someone that they might help them come to know Jesus as their Savior. Thank you, Father, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worship team is going to come and help us sing Noel.